Accession number 17476, Reel 1.
Mrs. Byrne, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
London.
Which part of London?
South London.
Which year was this?
1910.
Did you grow up in South London?
No, I grew up in Hampstead and went to the South Hampstead High School.
Until which age?
17.
And then?
Then I put in a year at University College London before coming up here to St. Hilda's College.
This is Oxford, we should say.
Oxford.
And when you left Oxford?
I got a travelling scholarship and travelled in southern Italy and Sicily and went over to Greece, stayed in the British School of Archaeology and travelled with friends, archaeological friends there.
What had you read at Oxford?
I'd read Onomods and I then read archaeology, Greek archaeology, and Professor Beasley was my tutor.
What were you doing when Chamberlain declared war on Germany in September 1939?
I was married. My husband was then the classical master, the classical sixth form master in Uppingham, his old school. And he simply could not go on teaching boys who were all dying to get into the war and be killed. So when there was an opportunity, the post of a representative of the British Council in Greece arose in March 1940. He put in for it because he had to get away from the school, and got it. There was quite a selection of people who were in for it. So we went out to Greece in April 1940, arriving in Thessalonica the day the Germans invaded the Netherlands.
At that time, had you any idea that Greece might be involved in the war?
Well, we didn't know anything special, but it seemed that all Europe was going to be involved in the war. And in fact, in October the 28th, which is now a national holiday in Greece, it's called the No Day, because the Prime Minister, Metaxas, said no to the Italian diplomat or even general who asked for permission to come across to bring the Italian army occupying Albania into Greece, across the frontier. And that was quite definitely refused, and Greece was at war. With great gusto, the morale was tremendously high, and people talked of Marathon and Thermopylae. They really did seem to be being repeated almost.
Were you living in Athens?
Or? Yes, in Athens. A little flat in Athens. With a view of the Acropolis.
And what was the attitude towards British people at that time?
Oh, they were very pro-British. After all, some Greeks are called Byron, as a Christian name.
What about your own work in 1940?
Oh, in 1940, well, there were there was a need for cipherers. First, I went to the legation. It wasn't an embassy in those days. And then the first of our services to arrive was, well, the Air Force. We sent over 5 squadrons almost at once. Well, I mean, as soon as possible. And they needed somebody in the cipher office. So I went there for quite a while and had a lovely little pass that the Greek policemen respected when there were air raids. And I could walk about the centre of Athens in an air raid when everybody else had been shoved into the cellars, into the shelters. And this was very useful because it was a terrible waste of time being swept into an air raid shelter.
Did your husband do the same thing?
He locked himself in his office, and one day a Greek came in, a Greek visitor, and said, "You come up from the shelter very quickly." He said, "I never go down there. If the first bomb that falls on Athens falls on my office, it will be too bad." The Greek said, "In 1940, now I know that Great Britain will win the war," which is rather nice.
Did Italian aircraft penetrate as far as Athens?
Actually, Athens was not bombed at all. It was Piraeus. Piraeus was bombed frequently and heavily. A lot of shipping was lost and a lot of damage done to the port.
Did you visit Piraeus?
No. I was rather too busy, you know.
Was the work intense?
Well, there was enough work to be done. The ciphering work.
Who else do you remember working with at the legation?
Well, at the legation, when I got round to the naval attaché's office, I shared the day with the minister's daughter. We simply were on for the whole of the day. I don't remember in the Air Force office. I don't remember any. I just didn't know anybody. But I came in and did the work.
What did Greeks feel about their prospects against the Italians, first of all?
Well, the beginning of that campaign, they did amazingly well. They pushed the Italians right down into the sea to Valona and Aia Seranda, they called it in Greek, but in Italian it was called Porta Edda, after Mussolini's daughter. I think it was his daughter. And the Greeks were determined that it should go back to the 40 saints. So they took it, and it was called Aia Seranda.
Did you see anything of any prisoners coming through or anything of that kind?
No, but when we came to leave, we haven't actually got to the evacuation yet, but when we came to leave, there were about 50 on the boat that we left on, the evacuation boat, which had been put on by Sir David, Major Hunt, who's now Sir David Hunt, who really saved us from being bombed by putting on those prisoners, because the German legation was there in Athens all through that little campaign.
Were these German soldiers?
No, Air Force. There would have been hardly any German soldiers prisoner.
had you or the Greeks expected the Germans to follow the Italians into the campaign against Greece?
Yes, really. It was inevitable. They would want to complete their occupation of the Balkans. They wouldn't have left Greece out.
What do you remember about the German entry into the war against Greece in the spring of 1940?
March, yes. Nothing much, except that everything speeded up. And then, working in the naval attaché's office, there used to be air battles that seemed to be over one's head. But I believe one's ears are rather unreliable. They may not have been quite as close as that. Air battles, but no bombs.
Were there any problems with the ciphering work?
No. No. I mean, if something was very corrupt, one could send for a check and repeat. But I always tried very hard to make sense. Having done a bit of work on Greek epigraphy here, where you have to emend corrupt passages, it helped quite a bit with a corrupt ciphered message.
Did you remain on RAF work?
Yes, until some RAF cipher officers came, and the office was terribly small, there wasn't room. But then shortly afterwards, it must have been about March, I suppose, then the Germans came in, and the army had to go, everybody had to go, and so the naval attaché's office was wanted daytime cipherers. The naval attaché and the assistant naval attaché took it during the night, and the minister's daughter and I manned the office in the day. We had a gun in the safe. It was just in an ordinary flat and very vulnerable.
What kind of gun was this?
Well, just a revolver. I mean, it was a small gun.
Did you know how to use it?
No, they didn't tell us. But they told us it was there. I suppose everybody was rushing about rather hectically then.
Did you see anything of the Allied forces that came into Greece to help them?
Yes, I used to work one evening a week at a canteen that was set up in one of the film theatres. The military attaché's wife ran that one for troops, and also for these poor fellows who came from Malta. And, one just did it to 11 o'clock and then walked back through Athens with my lovely pass.
How did the Greeks react to the retreat of the Commonwealth forces from Greece?
They said, come back again, come back soon. And there was absolutely no... Well, generalizing, but on the whole, there was no no hostility at all. I mean, they felt that we were their friends.
Did you have any contact with or knowledge of the political situation in Greece at the time?
Well, not much, but my husband used to read the newspapers very easily and quickly, and he would tell me if there was anything of particular interest. I can actually read Greek, but the newspaper Greek is terrible stuff.
In what way?
Well, they tend to use the two languages, the spoken and the written. The Katharivata is the official written language, which is very stilted and difficult to translate. And the spoken, the Demotiki, is much easier once you've started learning it.
How did Metaxas seem to be regarded by the population?
Oh, they hadn't enjoyed him before the war because he really was a dictator, but when the Germans attacked, or when the war started, he coped admirably. He had been trained in Germany and he'd won prizes there for being a good soldier. But he threw himself in, he was a Greek first, and he threw himself into the fray.
And the royal family?
One didn't hear much about the royal family. Actually, they came away with us.
Did you ever come across any communists in Greece at the time?
Not at that time, later though.
Perhaps we can talk about that later. You've already said something about the German Air Force personnel on the ship. Can you give more details about how you escaped from Greece?
Yes. Well, I stayed in the naval attaché's office and my husband packed up his office, gave away our evacuation tickets to a Greek who had had a Jewish wife and said the Navy would look after us. And about the 24th of April, we were told that we'd have to go. So we went down Piraeus and there was an old ship there that was coaling. It was evening. And the SS Elsie. We got on board and Major Hunt put these German Luftwaffe pilots into the ship. So we were not bombed. And we slept on the deck in cold dust with half a life belt each. It only had one strap. My husband looked around for possibly a whole one, but there just wasn't anything about. And we sailed in daylight to Suda Bay. And we passed the wreck of the cruiser York. It was very sadly sunk. There was only just the funnel and bits of rigging visible. And then as the boat was going on to Egypt, we got off. We got off and made our way to Kaner Hanya and went to brigade headquarters, where a major looked at two very disheveled and cold-dusty civilians, you know, thought we were totally useless, and we said we could cipher. He welcomed us in because he said, my cipher officers have not had their boots off for 48 hours. And so we were shown the cipher office, which was in a cellar, no windows, and a sand floor, which is rather awkward if you drop your pencil when there's an air raid. It goes into the sand and has to be dug out. Also, the light went out. We had a hurricane lamp, which was rather bulky for the trestle table with our cipher books and pads. However, that was all right. And the army allowed us to eat at their canteens and gave us tin helmets. And one of the soldiers said to me, I've never seen a woman so far up the line. The place was full of Greek women, of course. But he meant one of ours. And I felt like saying to him, there's not going to be a line here, they'll be coming down. Because that was evident. And we worked there until the some more officers came, and then we did various little jobs when knowing a bit of Greek, speaking Greek, helped. I don't really remember what I did then, beyond the fact that I once went up to the provisional headquarters in a cave outside Hanyar, with an absolutely new path cut to it, which must have been highly visible from the air. They didn't even put a branch or so over it. And I found a brigadier looking at a tiny map of Crete, which he didn't seem to be at all familiar with. So I said to him, well, all the ports are on the northern side, facing the Germans. And if we have to get out, which seemed to me very likely, we'll have to go down to a place called Sfakia, which is only a fishing village, fishing port, which in fact they did. Anybody who did that trek, being machine gunned by the Germans, down and through the mountains and out into the south, anybody who did that wouldn't forget it.
How had you felt when your husband gave away those tickets?
Oh, I was absolutely aggrieved. I wouldn't have dreamt of keeping them in those circumstances, when somebody else with a Jewish wife could take them. We met them in Cairo later on.
But did you not feel nervous that you might get left behind?
Well, somehow, not really. Because, you see, one had been working for the services. Didn't realize so many of them would be left behind at the time.
But you had faith at the time.
Well, one just wondered in general what was going to happen. But we wanted to remain on Greek soil for as long as possible. That was why we got off in Crete. We could perfectly well have gone on to Egypt.
So you were telling me about your speculations about the port from which any evacuation might have to take place, and leaving by Sfakia.
Leaving by Sfakia. That's the way the King of Greece and our minister got out. I mean, that was the only way out. The Navy rallied there and took people off.
Did you meet any VIPs whilst you were on Crete?
No. You see, we were in this cellar all day, except for canteen lunch.
How frightening were the German attacks?
Well, they were just raids. And it so happened that nothing fell near us. We had one rather amusing little encounter. We were actually given permission to have a bathe. We hadn't had a bath for quite a while. We went to the sea, it was down a cliff, and when we were either dressing or undressing, a German plane came down at cliff level, and we looked up and one saw the pilot's face, which was rather a strange encounter, just for a split second, of course.
So, was he strafing?
No, he dropped, his bomb fell in the sea.
What do you remember of the actual launch of the glider and airborne attack?
Oh, well, we were... the head of Chancery sent us a message that we were to get on board a Sunderland flying boat in Suda Bay by a certain date, probably just the next day after his message, at dawn. And I don't remember how we got there, but we did get there in time and got on board this. And with a number of Greeks. It flew very, very low over the sea to conceal its absolute whale-like dimensions, and also they could then fire up at any Germans. The guns were manned to shoot from below. However, nothing happened, and we got to Alexandria, 5 hours.
Who else was in the Sunderland?
George Seferis, from the Greek Foreign Office, who later became famous as a Nobel Prize poet. I mean, much later, of course. And he was also the Greek ambassador in London in about the 60s or the early 70s. We knew him. There was, I think, Prince Peter's mother, who was a Bonaparte, Marie Bonaparte. And we didn't know him. We didn't know her, but we were told that. And the others we didn't know. I believe that Maniavakis, who'd been Minister of the Interior, and a rather baleful one, was on board that, which we thought was pity, but nobody asked us.
Did the passengers seem nervous about the flight?
I really don't remember. I mean, we must have all looked rather cowed at that point.
How was it that you knew Seferis?
Oh, my husband met him in the course of his work. When Seferis was in the daytime at the Foreign Ministry in Athens.
Did you know Lord Catcher well?
He was head of Chancery. I mean, as well as one knows any of the legation.
So you weren't intercepted by the enemy on the Sunderland flight?
No. They were very busy bombing the boats. The ships.
Where did you arrive eventually?
Alexandria.
And what kind of reception did you get there?
Well, nothing to speak of. I mean, we were just refugees. My husband was absolutely dying to join up. So we went down to Cairo, and he was commissioned in the intelligence corps. But there were absolutely no women in uniform for quite some time, and so I naturally went into the cipher office at GHQ, the army cipher office.
How were you received there?
I was told to go through the cipher school and spent a fortnight doing dead, dud messages. After one had been doing it in Crete, you know, it was, to say the least of it, a bit irritating.
Was it any different from the cipher work that you had already done?
No,